God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the sermon this morning is from the gospel reading. You know, if there is a fishing story in the reading, I'm going to preach on it. The text for the sermon is the gospel reading, the great catch of fish, but also consider these parts of the other readings. All the readings do try to focus us on a theme from the gospel reading, a doctrine that's being taught. And today, that doctrine, that teaching, is first and foremost who Jesus is. He's revealed as the Son of God. And if he is God, then as we see from Isaiah, his word is powerful. His word does something. We see with Isaiah, it cleanses through the coal. You see the absolution the angel gave to him from God. But also, even in the Psalm, Psalm 138, you have exalted above all things your name and your word. St. Paul to the Corinthians, he talks about preaching and hearing the word of God and how important it is. And look at what St. Paul, he says. He assumes that we are part of a Christian church, that we are sitting and we are hearing the word. St. Paul speaks of preaching and teaching in a word that can be understood. And finally, the gospel reading, we see Jesus' word is powerful. He says, put out your nets to catch the fish. And they did. Now, I have many fishermen in my family. I'm not the only one. In particular, I have an uncle who always had the best gear. I was young and didn't realize it, but you know, he had a lake house and he had one of those fancy bass boats. It glittered in the sun, gold and shiny as we went across the water to go and not catch anything. My brother and I would fish with him, and one day my brother pulled out of his tackle box a fishing lure that, well, neither my uncle nor I had ever seen. It was a fishing lure as seen on TV. My brother, being 2 years younger than me, I made fun of him, and so did my uncle. In fact, my wise old uncle said, well, it looks like an advertising agent caught you. Let's see if you can catch any fish. Well, a few hours later, my brother was, of course, catching fish like no tomorrow, and my uncle and I sat frustrated. What in the world, we thought? A new lure, a new fishing lure that actually does what it says. And as they say, the proof is in the pudding. And the pudding tasted like, well, fish. We thought the fishing lure and technique was silly, but it worked. And wouldn't you know it, a few years later, I was rummaging around in my uncle's boat and I saw a bunch of those packages of that fishing lure. It seemed to have worked on him as well. Well, this morning we hear Jesus' favorite way to gather men unto himself, to gather his church together. He doesn't use nets. He doesn't use bait. He uses nets. He doesn't use bait. He doesn't trick us. He doesn't put something in front of us and then pull a bait and switch. Our Lord Jesus Christ uses his word to catch sinners into his church, the net, and bring us to himself. Christ gathers us, and we come to him. We are brought to him by hearing the word of God and receiving his sacraments faithfully. We might think his word and sacraments sometimes are like a worthless fishing lure. Something that, well, it really can't work, can it? We might think there are other things that are more important, but today we learn that Christ continually catches us by his word of forgiveness and his sacrament. Now remember what happened last week. It was the word of God that cast out the demon. It was the word of Jesus that healed Simon's mother-in-law. Luke is now revealing to us that Jesus is the Son of God who by his word has authority. He can do amazing things. And not only that, but he also shows us that through his disciples, through his sent preachers, that powerful word still works. Because it is the word of God that they bring. As they continue preaching and teaching his word, the net is still cast out. The last verse of our gospel reading sets the stage for how we're to look at this miracle. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. The reading, of course, it isn't about fishing, but it is about technique. Jesus gathers and keeps his church by his word and sacrament because these give us a promise to believe in. Christ's word of promise of forgiveness. It is about how Jesus uses his authority to calm our fears and teach us to trust in him no matter how bleak, no matter how foolish, no matter how boring or pointless we might think word and sacrament is, it is our fail-safe. Better than, well, any fishing bait, better than any lure that your promise will always catch fish, better than any lucky trinket. God's word, unlike those things, endures forever. The challenge for us, and as we see for the disciples in the reading, is that so often we don't think Christ will provide. Or we think the way in which Christ catches and keeps us in the faith, well, is it really that reliable? Can we really trust the Word of God? First, we see the doubt of Simon Peter. Jesus says to put the boat out a little and lower the net. Simon doesn't believe Christ's word. This is why Peter falls down in the boat at the end and confesses his sin. Peter knows fishing. He is experienced. He knows what he's doing, and Jesus asks him, in the face of all of his experience, all of his skill, to not trust that, but to trust his word. Against everything Peter knows, against everything Peter has experienced in his life, and Jesus says, throw it away, listen to my word, and go forward. And so Peter then, after he sees, indeed has a moment of clarity in regards to the nature of sin. It's an offense to God. Doubting his word, trusting in anything except what God says, well, the only thing we can say when we are face to face with that sin is what Peter confesses. Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. A true and accurate confession when we doubt Christ's promise to provide what we need. Not just monetarily or materially, but also spiritually. The depth of Peter's confession and his teaching us by the Holy Spirit who gave Peter this faithful confession teaches us that Peter knew that fishing technique isn't what Jesus was trying to show them. Peter believed his eyes and experience more than Christ's word. He doubted what Christ is trying to show Peter and us is that he wants to absolve us. He wants to forgive us for all of our doubts. And we do this in many ways. The outcome of doubt and sin is worry. And then worry leads to unbelief. Worrying about politics, worrying about health, worrying about the state of the church. It's no mystery that church, even in the ancient church, in the early church, it's no mystery. The church is like one of these lowly fishing boats. Put out on a great lake of storms and so often after much toil and much work, there's no fish to show. Yes, we worry about life in general, but today's reading is Jesus assuring us that the life of the church will carry on despite what we see. That our life in being brought into the Christian church and being taken care of will continue despite us knowing we are unclean people with unclean lips. That it is the faithfulness of Christ that endures. And He does this on our behalf. He uses His word to promise to you, I forgive you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. The Word of God is powerful and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Paul teaches Timothy, he says, remember how from your childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. It's this Word of God that sustains your faith. Paul told the Thessalonians, we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God which is at work in you believers. Jesus says in the Gospel according to St. John, if you are truly my disciples, you will abide in my Word. Jesus said with the sacrament, do this often. God's Word works to sustain your faith. That's its purpose. Not just to catch you one day and then to trick you another day. No, God's Word does this keeping in the faith through the absolution, through the forgiveness of your sins. Peter is right. He teaches us today to confess our sins. In James, we're told to confess our sins to one another. Peter is right. He teaches us to confess our sins because our sins, they show us that, well, we don't measure up to God's Word. We aren't, in fishing language, we aren't keepers. We're lazy when it comes to God's Word and learning it. How much easier it is to go onto social media or turn on the television than to crack open the old family Bible. How much more convenient it is to go and grab a cup of coffee or go shopping than it is to attend Bible study or Sunday school. That should teach us. We are just like Peter. Lord, forgive me. But then that doesn't mean we jump out of the boat. That means we flee to that very word. We run to it so that we may be caught again. We should echo Peter, Lord, throw me back, depart from me, I'm sinful. We are taught in the small catechism this should be our daily confession. Today's reading shows us God's care and concern for His people. That He has come for sinners like Peter, like you, like me. He comes and He doesn't use His word to throw us away, but to forgive us. So we see in our reading today, very early on in Jesus' ministry, that He came to earth. He entered our world. He took flesh upon Himself so that He may be our sin. That our sins, yes, they are wicked, they are evil, but the Word of God is stronger. The Word of God made flesh conquers death on the cross. That there on the cross, the one who did measure up to the law of God, the one who perfectly kept every single one of them, it's He who was thrown out. It was He who was left out of the water to dry for him to die. He doesn't throw us away, but his son came to earth so that he could be thrown out, that we would be kept. That on the cross, Jesus died for your sins. The sins, every time you've doubted God's provision, every time you've looked at your failures in life and you said, I do not deserve this. Well, you're right. If you keep looking at yourself, you will never measure up. So in your time of need, look to Christ Jesus on the cross, where He takes all your sins away, where He fulfills the law on your behalf, in His life, in His death, and He's raised for you to know that God will never, He'll never throw you out. That He sent His Son Jesus to assure you that He's going to keep you. So don't look at your life as if it's some trophy that God is going to reward you. But look to Christ. He's your trophy. He bestows upon you His life in the waters of baptism, where He tells you, listen to my word. Hear that I am washing you clean, not just washing dirt from the body, but new life is being given to you. That Christ is your sufficiency. And this is the other part of our reading, that Christ is teaching His disciples and us where the church should be focused. We shouldn't be focused on all the promises of the world. Especially these days, as being a pastor, starting a church and growing a church, it's become a business. A very marketable, and if you consider money a sign of success, a very successful product. But we need to be reminded not to look at the techniques of the business world or advertising as the church's strength. We don't need to look at the flashy things of this world and consider that that's good bait. That's really going to bring them in. It's not. If it's not the word and sacrament, it's going to fade. It's going to then become uncool again. What is today's fad is tomorrow's joke. Peter, he knew how fishing worked. He knew what was reliable. He knew how to get the fish in. He considered Christ's word not to be enough, but Jesus teaches us otherwise. Christ's church, we have the joy of trusting this very word to sustain us and keep us. We don't need cleverly devised myths, the Scripture teaches us. We don't need transformation. We don't need marketing ploys. We need to be faithful. And you need to keep your pastors and teachers faithful. You pray for them. You keep them accountable. But we also need faithful hearers. We need to remember that Christ's word and sacrament, it is these that are the nets, because they give us a promise to believe in, anchored in Christ Himself and the forgiveness of sins. That always works. He will not put out a faintly burning wick. He will not crush you. These are the ways that Christ not only catches and sustains us, but how often are we fish who don't want to be caught? We scoff at the thought that God's word is more important even than food itself. It is. And the sacraments we think are so plain and, well, put it bluntly, blah. Our churches will be tempted to think like Peter. Well, we've done this before, Jesus. We've fished all night. But look at the church in our day and age. They even have a fancy word for it. They say post-Christian age. Lord, look, our nets are empty. You might think the Lord's Supper repetitive or the liturgy empty, but if you look at our bulletin, you see in our liturgy we have the the real small fine print of where our entire liturgy comes from the Word of God. This is why we keep doing it. Jesus continues to promise us. He says, "Let down the nets I give you. Do not chase the ways of the world. You have all you need." You have all you need in your life, too. When you look to Christ Jesus to be your comfort, to be your everything. He has used these means of grace to keep His church, and He will continue to do so. We must avoid the temptation to doubt Him, and we must also avoid thinking that it's really up to us to bring in the great haul of fish. God sends His Word out and it accomplishes what He promises it to do. Don't begin to think that God's Word can grow dull, or the sacraments don't measure up to the exciting fads or motivational speakers or TED Talks or even our favorite hobbies. But the forgiveness of sins, this is our treasure. Those who mock the Word of God, look at them and they look at them like fishing lures that just don't work, worthless. But to the fish who know and confess their sins, how we do not deserve the mercy and grace of Christ, "Depart from me, Lord, I am sinful." If you know and trust and believe that the forgiveness of sins is the greatest treasure in all eternity, you will never be disappointed in Christ. This is what He promises to give you. Looking at the world to satisfy your needs, you'll never have enough. Looking to the techniques of advertising and seminar speakers, it always leaves you wanting more, as seen on TV. But wait, there's more. When God's Word, properly divided between law and gospel and the sacraments, when those are your need, Christ is always there fulfilling that every hunger and thirst. When you trust His Word, you will never be disappointed. Even when the nets are empty, when the bank accounts are low, when your friends are few, when your body is weak, when death is standing over you, Christ is there with you in the boat. He will deliver you. When life seems difficult or being faithful to God is hard, repent of your insufficiency. And then hear from outside of yourself and believe that you are a soaking wet fish. You are being kept alive in the living waters of the promise of forgiveness given to you in your baptism. Christ has you in His net. He's got you in His church. And He'll never let you go. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.